Thanks for the invitation. It was good to be here with you. This is our third year as a church joining you for the New Year's service, and I always appreciate the invitation and the second time that you've allowed me to share my thoughts with you at the end of the year. So appreciate that your congregation that loves the Word of God. So if you want to find a Bible and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 7, that's where our thoughts are going to be tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 7. Now, perhaps you will remember the famous verse from the end of the book of Joshua. I think everybody knows this, where Joshua said, "As for me and my house..." Oh, so you heard that one before. What's going on in that scene? That scene comes at the end of what's known as the conquest. You remember that Moses died and Joshua took over for him. And he led the Israelites into the promised land, and they waged war on the Canaanites and the Amorites and so on until they finished taking the land and settled down to their promised inheritance. And when the wars were all over and everybody's getting ready to go home, that scene is Joshua's farewell to the Israelites. "Here you are at last in the land that God promised to our father Abraham. And look," he said, he did what he said he was going to do. "He's brought you in. He's given you the land. Now, listen, everybody, fear the Lord and serve him alone. And put away the foreign gods that are among you, which your forefathers served in Egypt." And he said, "If it doesn't seem desirable to you to serve the Lord, then, you know, choose who you will serve. But as for me and my family, we've made up our mind, we've made our choice, and we're going to serve the Lord." And they said, "We will too, you know, we'll serve the Lord." And Joshua pretty much said, "You know, I don't know if you're able to do it." Okay, he said, "God is a holy God, and you are some stiff-necked people." And they said, "We will, we promise, you know, we'll serve the Lord." And he said, "All right, you know, you said it." Okay, and put away your foreign gods and serve him. And what Joshua did is he took this big stone and he set it up as a monument. And he said, "This stone heard what you said. This stone is a witness." And okay, you heard words out of your mouth, "You're going to serve the Lord, so now go and serve the Lord." And everybody said, "Okay," and then they all went home, and the stone, you know, is left standing there, if you like, as a monument. So the years come and go, and if there's one thing you can say about mankind, it's that we're inconsistent. Generation follows generation, and the people drift away from the commitments that their ancestors made. You know the story of Israel, I assume, how many ups and downs they had, how many times they would drift away from the loyalty to the Lord, and then there'd be some kind of revival for a little while or a renewal, and you know the revival lasts for 10 or 20 years maybe, and then the people would drift away again. When you get to 1 Samuel, a few hundred years have gone by since Joshua said what he said and the people said what they said, you know, "We promise." So think about, as Americans, think about roughly the time from Plymouth Rock until now. That's a good long time. Our ancestors made these covenants, and they were quite serious in their commitments and their oaths to serve the Lord. But, you know, you let 400 years go by, and look at what you have today, right? Things are quite different.
Right.
Okay, are their descendants keeping those promises? Well, that's about the span between the end of Joshua and here in 1 Samuel, when we meet Samuel. And, well, look at the condition of Israel again. Now, the spiritual state of Israel is getting pretty poor. You read about how the priests are pretty bad news. You know what Judges came in between. You know how Judges keep saying in those days there was no king in Israel and everybody just sort of did whatever they felt like doing. They departed from God's ways, departed from the promises their fathers had made at that big monument, right? Saying, "No, you know, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said, "Well, I guess we'll see." So time goes by, the people drift away, and you know, if God is not welcome in a place, he won't hang around. So if his people are far from him, he'll be far from them. And so in come the enemies, because the state of godliness in Israel is so dilapidated. And when Samuel was young, it was the Philistines, right? The Philistines overran the countryside. They overran Shiloh, where the tabernacle was kept, and totally defeated and humiliated the Israelites, and they captured the Ark of the Covenant, and Israel starts to feel pretty sorry for themselves. Okay, so the previous chapter here, the ark was recovered, but it was just kind of sitting in somebody's house. And a couple of decades go by with the ark just sort of sitting in somebody's house. And then we see the hearts of the people of Israel start to respond to the Spirit of God. So I want to start in 1 Samuel 7 and verse 2. It says, "So it was that the ark remained in Kiriath Jearim for a long time. It was there 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." So what do we have here? We have an opportunity for something new. Samuel has been a prophet among the people for a good while now by this point. And he has a very good reputation as a man of God. And so he responds now to the people's expressions of grief and lament about the state of their nation. And he wants to gauge how serious they are about it. Okay, so see verse 3. This is his response. Okay, it says, "The house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, 'If indeed you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths,'" that's a female deity, "'put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines.'" Okay, so this is a lot like what Joshua said. Are you going to serve the Lord? And the people say, "Yes, we will." Okay, Samuel says, "Okay, but you have all of these foreign gods. You have to show me. Don't just tell me you're going to serve the Lord. You know, I've heard this before. God has heard this story before. If you are truly ready to serve the Lord and you want him to save you, then get rid of your foreign gods." Okay, don't just make a pledge. Take action. Put away the foreign gods. Prepare your hearts for the Lord. Serve him only. Okay, so they did. Verse 4, "The children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths, and they served the Lord only." So this is repentance. Okay, this is returning to the Lord. Things are bad, but when you wake up and realize that things are bad, you have an opportunity here, my people, for a renewal of the Lord's power and his blessing. Okay, but that requires you to take action. Right? Number one, you have to get rid of what's false. You have to get rid of what's intruded on God's rightful place as the Lord of life. And number two, you have to humble yourself before God and entreat him for a renewal of his favor. Okay? Show contrition and regret for your sins and your unfaithfulness and admit we've done wrong. Okay, you want to see how Samuel handles the situation here. So verse 5, "Samuel said, 'Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you.'" So they gathered together at Mizpah, and this is interesting, drew water out of a well, I assume, and poured it out before the Lord. It's not something that you see maybe anywhere else in the Bible, but this ceremony of drawing water and pouring it out before the Lord seems like it expresses a kind of thirst. Possibly it signifies we have a spiritual thirst, something that mere water is useless. You know, we might as well draw this water and dump it on the ground for all the good it will do. We have a need for a greater kind of water, some kind of water for our souls. Possibly also expresses a need for a sense of a need for washing. Okay, Lord, cleanse us. You know, we come to you in our need and in our sorrow. Okay, so they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And it says they fasted that day, which is an act of self-denial, right? And it's we're not going to bother with cooking or anything today. We're just going to give all our attention to prayer. And they said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah, which I think here just means he sort of took command, took charge of them. You know, not like he sat down at his desk and said, "Okay, bring me your cases." Not that kind of judging, just... you've shown me your sincerity in humbling yourselves and wanting the Lord in your life, and so I will take up your cause. So genuine repentance is the way. It's the way to start a new thing. We need a change, right? Things are bad. We've gotten away from God. We've fallen into a rut, fallen under the power of the enemy. If we want God to intervene for us and restore our dignity and our well-being, that's got to start with repentance. So new year, new thing. Okay, of course, now the enemy, you see, does not want you to start anything new. The enemy wants to keep you down. So here comes the Philistines, verse 7. When the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now look, see how fast the tables are turned. The people put away their sins, they put away their idols, they offer their prayers up to God, their petitions up to God through a mediator. Samuel is the mediator. And they offer God a gift of devotion and worship, right, the burnt offering. And as the psalm says, their cry came up into his holy place. Okay, they're effectively saying, there is no one who can save us but you, O Lord, and so our eyes are on you. So see what happens, verse 10. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And I believe we are to understand a literal, terrifying, sudden thunderstorm that just made the Philistines panic. And it just says, so confused them that they were overcome. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah, pursued the Philistines, and drove them back as far as below Beth Kar, however far away that is. But, you know, it's get out of our place, get out of our face. The Lord gives them a first victory in response to their repentance and their petition. So they have a victory. Okay, so look, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Eben Ezer. Okay, Eben means stone, Ezer means help. It's the stone of help, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So here's another monument. Okay, this is a memorial marker to what God has done. Okay, he brought us this far. It's good now that we sort of capture this event, memorialize this event, remember it, and that our posterity will remember this event, because we did what was right in God's sight when we were low and things were bad for us. We returned to him in sincerity, and he performed this mighty deed for us. And so this monument that's left behind here sort of tells a story, okay, a story of how we got right with God and what he did for us. And you'll see he kept doing great things for us. He kept our enemies away. If you go on and finish up the chapter here, so the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come anymore into the territory of Israel. Okay, that's complete reversal. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath. And Israel recovered its territory from the hand of the Philistines. And also there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And as the years go by, things remain good between the people and the Lord. Okay? And his servant Samuel, you see, just faithfully goes about doing his thing. And he keeps the relationship healthy between the people and God. Okay, that's 15. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. He always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. So what you see is the people enjoyed a time of peace for a good while. That time of peace began when they began to lament after the Lord, right? When they began to bewail the poor state of their relationship with God and how he seemed so distant from them. Okay, so in the New Testament it says, godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Okay, godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. So again, the Israelites enjoyed a time of peace. That time of peace began when they began to lament after the Lord and bewail the poor state of their relationship with God. From that point, good things start to happen. So I just want you to consider the significance of putting up that monument and Samuel's remark at the time, thus far the Lord has helped us. Right? We acknowledge as a people that God has been merciful, God has done good things, God has blessed his people with victory and with peace. So December 31, it's an appropriate time for God's people to stop and memorialize or recognize God has led us this far. Right? Thus far the Lord hath helped us. He has brought us through another complete year, and if you like, we can put down a stone and say, look what God has helped us overcome. So for some of you, this may have been your first year as a Christian. Right? Maybe you were born again this year and you got baptized this year. And you know, you began a new life. Godly sorrow produced repentance, and you know, repentance led to salvation. And you made up your mind, I'm going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and serve God alone. Maybe that happened to you this year. Look, this is a meaningful year for you, right? God has done great things for you. He brought you out from under the power of the enemy. He's brought you into a realm of peace. He's given you a first victory. Okay, well, put your marker down and say, thus far the Lord has led me. It was a good year in that respect. People often remember what year it was when they were born again. Can you think you name the year you were born again? Okay. You remember the major landmarks or the major turning points in your spiritual life. You say, I remember. I remember the day. I remember where I was. I remember the conflict that was going on in my heart. I remember the remorse. I remember then, you know, this act of God. I remember feeling his power and the consolation and the joy of the gospel. I remember the first victory. Right? For some of you, that was this year. Well, congratulations, right? Praise God for that. You know, you'll remember this year as, you know, you'll remember that this is the year it happened. Now, for most of you, probably that was a previous year. And you say, yeah, I remember. You know, it was 1996 or whatever it was. Okay, you remember the landmark day when things changed from sorrow to salvation. Yes. You will always have that in your heart when the new thing began. Mm-hmm. Right? The Lord said, return to me and I will return to you. He said, as for your sins, don't grieve anymore about them. I will pardon them. I've given you a mediator, like my son, Jesus Christ, and he will intercede for you. He'll pray for you. He offered up an offering for you. Right? He offered himself. He offered up himself. And I've accepted him, so I'll accept you. Right? Do you remember understanding that for the first time and believing that, you know, God would be merciful to you because of Jesus Christ, because of his sacrifice? Right? The Bible says, not because of righteous things that we've done, but because of his mercy, he saved us. Yeah. And you were born of the Spirit of God. It was poured out like water on you, like living water. And you were baptized, you were washed, and you put that landmark down, the stone of help, right? Thus far, the Lord has helped me. And today, you can still recall that landmark. But I would say it's helpful to put another, maybe little one down at the end of each year and say, the Lord has helped me even farther now this year. You know, this far the Lord has brought me. Okay, we have come farther since that day, and God's still good, and he gives new victories, and he's kept me in peace. And, you know, another whole year of labor and challenges and hardships, and that's all come and gone, and I'm still here, and God's still good. He got me through it. And year by year, my intercessor keeps just faithfully doing his thing, faithfully making his rounds, keeps things good between me and God. Right, thank God for our Lord Jesus. He's so faithful year after year. And now there's others of you who have not yet started the process. Okay, what I've just been talking about has not yet been your experience. I hope you will see, friends, that you need saving, and that no one can save you but God himself.
That's right.
Do you feel that God is far from you and you're far from him? Okay, do you feel the weight of your troubles? And does it perhaps make you sorry over the weak state of your relationship with your current relationship with God? Okay, where does my help come from? The psalm says. Mm-hmm. I need help. Okay, remember how it says the people lamented after the Lord, I need help. Well, Jesus Christ is the stone of help. Right? God said, I lay a stone in Zion. I'm standing this monument here. I lay a stone in Zion, and whoever trusts in him will never be put to shame. Okay, new year, new thing. Do it now. You may as well put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Return to the Lord, and he will return to you. You go back and read the story again and listen to Samuel. Right? If indeed you return to the Lord God with all your heart, then put away all of that foreign God stuff from among you. Prepare your heart for the Lord, serve him only, and he will deliver you. Right. And that's just what the people did, right? And that's what you have to do. Just say, you alone, O Lord, are my help. Only you can save us. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Go to God with that same heart of contrition. Pour yourself out like water, right? Put away what's false. Humble yourself. Make your appeal to God through the intercessor that he provided for you. Okay, that one who that precious Son of God, he will pray for you. He will make an offering for you. Right? He offered up himself. God provided his only begotten Son for you. And receive the cleansing. Receive the washing. Let God pour out his Holy Spirit on you. Right? Christ is the Lamb who is offered up to God, spotless, right? An act of worship, an act of obedience. He already died. He's already raised again, yes, to take away your sins. And because of him, God will receive you. God will come to you. Okay, he shows you right here in the story. He'll do it. Mm-hmm. He'll do it. He'll hear your prayers. And God will give you a victory that, believe me, yes, you will remember it for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Okay, the Lord of hosts has become my rock, my help, my salvation.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray, shall we, saints? Our gracious Father, at the end of a year, once again, we acknowledge you as the eternal God. 1,000 ages in your sight are like an evening gone. And yet, dear Father, we know that you are from everlasting to everlasting. Your promises are sure and steadfast. Everything that you promise you will do, you will do. And we believe that your word will come to pass. We believe that you are coming to judge the earth. We believe, Lord, that you will separate the righteous from the sinner. And so we also believe, Lord, that you will accept the sinner when he comes to you in the name of Christ your Son. So we plead the blood of Calvary, Lord. We all know we have nothing to bring to you. We have no righteousness of our own. We have to claim that gift which you gave us through your Son. And so by faith, Lord God, we do understand Christ is perfect and we are not. Christ is our Savior, and we can't save ourselves. And so I just ask, dear Lord, that your Spirit would lay upon each heart here, touch the ones, Father, who may not know you, may not have been born again and received the cleansing. And I pray, Lord, right now, tonight, today would be the day, a new year, a new start. May it be, Lord God, that you would etch this day in the memory of some loved one here tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen.